Great day, amazing humans. Welcome to the Empowered in My Skin podcast, where we have conversations that inform, inspire, and remind you that you matter. This is the place where we share stories, wisdom, and experiences designed to help you live boldly, think empowering thoughts, and show up fully in the skin you're in. I'm your host, Nkechi Nwafor, and I'm so glad you're here. Now, let's get into today's episode. Yes, great day, amazing humans, and welcome to the next episode of Empowered in My Skin. And well, for those that are YouTubers, you can see that I have a fantastic guest. You just know, you just look at him and he looks fantastic. He just looks...
I appreciate you.
But what if peak performance isn't about pushing harder, but mastering the voice that tells you you're not enough? Today's guest has fought in rings, stood on global stages, and spent decades studying the anatomy of greatness, not just in the body, but in the mind and spirit. He's moved from elite athletic to inner architecture, helping high achievers quiet the noise, align their identity, I love that, and build success that doesn't cost their soul. So please join me in a gigantic, massive podcast welcome for Alvin Brown.
Yes, queen. I appreciate you. Appreciate you. My pleasure being here. It's an honor being here.
Thank you. So yes. My first signature question for you is, what has been your most empowering thought that you've had of the day so far?
Of the day so far? There's so many. I just did a podcast today, my own podcast, on this topic of there's always room for your story in a way. I get my ideas, epiphanies every day from life itself. I'm curious. I've always been curious, and that's what drives me. And I had my hand in my pocket of my Lululemon pants. And, you know, I'm like, you know, this is a pocket in a pocket thing. This is kind of cool. All right, a little pocket in a pocket. I can put my little headphone here, the Apple headphone in my little pocket in my pocket. There's pants everywhere, but they just separate themselves just by a little pocket in a pocket. And there's a little zip here and a little, you know. And I swore to myself I would never wear Lululemon pants.
And you know, you love them.
I'm like, I'm not wearing that. That's not for me. And my kids bought me a Lululemon pants. And all of a sudden, I'm like,
damn,
in a pocket. What is going on in this pocket? So, you know, so my thought is sometimes when people have an idea, a thing, and they, oh, everyone's done it already. Mm-hmm. It's already been done. You know, it might sound cliche, but there's 8.8 billion of us on this planet. Mm-hmm. But you bring a special gift. Mm-hmm. How many people have podcasts already, right? How many people have books written? How many people have, if you keep just saying everyone's done it already and die with your music in you, that's the travesty right there. Yeah. What you have is a little flair that you can add to the market and add to the thing and then swim in your own blue ocean, right? So that's kind of the epiphany I'm working on, and I journal on it and I just shared it out. So yeah, it's my thing is these little things that make us unique, right?
Well, I love how deep you got. That might be like a good Lululemon commercial. You might want to reach out to them that you can get free merchandise for the rest of your life.
But I'm telling you, a pocket in a pocket.
That might be genius.
In a pocket. Who thought of that, right? Let me put a pocket in a pocket.
But I love share that because this, I will be honest with you, a lot of like, this platform was born. It didn't start as a podcast. Mm-hmm. It started with me wanting to give people just I truly do believe that my mantra for my life right now is everything that passes by me is better because it did. Right. And it's that ability that every interaction I have with another human being is my opportunity to put in front of them the mirror of their greatness. Right. And I truly do believe we're not competing. There's enough, like I love that you said there's 8 billion people in this world. Like there's enough space for all of us to
every single one.
Right. And imagine that world where everyone recognizes that and nobody lets their dreams sort of like slide, but they understand their race, you know, and they run their own race with their equipment. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's a goal.
So something I start to do new in the season. And so the previous guest left you a question. Okay. I stole this from Stephen Bartlett. So this is not my, This is not my, he's a genius, the Diary of a CEO podcast. So right, yeah. The question is, if you can change something in the world immediately, what would it be?
Okay. That is an easy one, obviously. Oh. Remove, and I say obviously because of the time we're living in now, remove egos. Remove egos. That's what I would change is we're, you know, I often ask people, what are we fighting for again? Like really and truly, what are we fighting for? Because over 30 years that I've been working with intently with people and no matter who you are, I don't care who you are. First of all, number one is pain is a great equalizer. Mm. When people are in pain, your color doesn't exist, your whatever doesn't exist, they want to be out of pain. So they come to me vulnerable. And I get to talking to them. And you know, at the deepest level of our, all of this other stuff we fight over is it's all noise, color, gender, you name it. It's all noise. Mm-hmm. At the deeper part, everyone just wants to be happy. Everyone wants to just live a good life. Everyone wants to make a difference. They want to address your six human needs. You know, they just want to go home to the family, raise your kids, all this other stuff we're killing each other over. We people, there's only a few at the top who know why this game is being played. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom, there's billions of people wondering, what are we doing this for again? So egos, I would tame the ego, the human ego for greed and power. And that would solve a lot of problems, I think. That's what I would change. Yeah, that's what I would change. Because I don't know what we're fighting for. No one does. That.
My favorite definition of ego is ease got out.
Yeah.
Because I truly do believe if we were focused on Iggy.
Yeah, exactly.
This would be a better world.
Yeah. Yeah, just the ego.
That's a great answer. Thank you for that.
Need for power. You're welcome. I wish you could come true.
Yeah. I also do believe everything that passes by me, if everyone owned that statement, mm-hmm. is better because it did. This world would be better.
Exactly.
So world domination, we're gonna do it.
Absolutely. And kind of tying, that's what we're doing with one conversation at a time. But tying into what you're saying, one of my favorite stolen wisdoms. I don't call them quotes anymore, by the way, I call them wisdoms. One of my favorite stolen wisdoms, don't get through it, get from it, which is kind of ties in a little bit of what you're saying is don't get through, you know, challenges, your pain, your challenges, get from it. So,
I see what you mean. Like get the gift from it. Okay. Get the learning.
You get the learning from it, mm-hmm. because something I'll talk about at some point, you know, you know, for sure my journey, my son. You know, some tough stuff. And, you know, I call it the seasons of life. Something I've been, again, another stolen wisdom is the seasons of life. Life is all about seasons. And everyone, just like in nature, you know, the one thing during the pandemic that kept me sane and kept me focused is this idea of the seasons. You know, with that crazy stuff going on, everybody staying at home and worried about the future. And even now with this crazy, the world's always crazy. But anyways, with all this stuff going on, one thing you can guarantee is this: winter, spring, summer, fall. If you're in a four-season country, you're going to get all those seasons. They come, no matter what craziness is going on, they come in succession all the time. And so during the pandemic, here we are sitting around. I was going, man, you know, we're sitting in here going crazy, but here comes the spring, here comes the summer, here comes the winter. It just keeps going. The world keeps turning. And life, if you look at life is the same. All of us in our business, our personal life, will go through seasons. We will have great seasons. We're having making money, or we're living a good life, or we're having fun. Life is good. Then there is the, you know, inevitably, summer, that's summertime when you're having a good time and things are great and amazing. Eventually, this fall comes in. It's not as, you know, it's a preparation time. It's getting things ready. And then eventually follows fall is winter. We go through the winter months. But again, in succession comes spring. Yeah. What we have to remember in these seasons, when you're going through the winter, get through it, get from it. Winter can reveal the cracks in your foundation. So in your home, winter comes in Canada, nice and cold. Oh, geez, I didn't realize we have a little draft in there, or I didn't realize my house isn't prepared. It wasn't winterized. I'm really feeling it. But you winterize it, you get it ready, you go through the spring, and winter comes again. Wow, it's about a lot better this time. Your life. You're having a good time. Life is good. Health is good. Family, everything's good. Inevitably, winter hits. They say you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to your level of preparation, right? So when trouble hits, where are you going to be? In the summertime, what we should be doing in the summertime is we should be preparing. Enjoy the summer, but realize that's the time you prepare gently for the incoming season that's about to arrive. And then just like the winter, also reassure yourself that this too shall pass. Just recently, I lost my son to cancer, 4-year battle with cancer. Obviously.
It's been how long now?
A year. March 6th. It became a year in March 6th. Yeah, just past March 6th. So we went through all the year, the annual, the first of everything. And, you know, we're together, we're holding each other up. But I tell you, the work I've done on myself, and the beauty is for the 4 years that he we were going through it, we had a lot of chance to connect and talk about everything in life, death, you name it. I spent 14 weeks in ICU with him before, it sounds terrible. We're in ICU, but there were moments in that ICU where we connected, we talked, and we faced it. We were looking out at, on University Avenue, and we're looking at Elm Street and the wintertime, and we just talked and connected. And so, yes, we lost a piece of us forever. However, we had time to connect and go deep and find out what. Yeah, find out. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Yeah. We had a chance to connect and find out, what he meant to me, what I meant to him. There's so many. I got a chance to say things that some people don't ever hear. And I got to hear things that some people never hear about how they're doing as a parent or how they're doing as a, what they meant. And, so there's so many things. And we learned a lot about us as a family. We came closer, we came tighter. And, his wife, unbelievably, got married. He got married on October 26th, 2024. Okay. Yeah, and he passed on just a year.
Oh, October 2024 and passed four. in March of 25.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So he kind of knew, so they kind of said, let's do something before. And he had a suspicion that it might go south. We were always hopeful. So anyways, my point is this, to bring it around to the seasons. When you're in the summer season in your business, let's say talk business, and let's talk. I do a lot of entrepreneurs. When things are going great, let's switch this to business. When things are going great, nobody's doing anything. We're enjoying, we're buying stuff, we're, spending money, we're R&Ding, we're doing all. Then winter hits and you get caught. You're down, your business is struggling, and you're ready to close the doors. It's just, let's take the pandemic. How many people closed their
business because they were not?
That's the winter. Yeah. That's the winter. See, now what if in the summer, we started an account where we have a 6-month surplus or a year long surplus put away just in case. See, nobody's preparing when it's going good. Mm-hmm. Everyone's sitting back, chilling, enjoying the summer, not realizing that seasons, if we think about seasons. And so in the winter, we have the surplus. We can weather the winter and we can learn from the winter. Boy, if my business or my life isn't this way, my marriage broke up, what can I learn from the experience? Mm-hmm. I learned with my son, I learned that life isn't promised. And I'm even more passionate now about this idea of expressing my gifts into the world, because I realized, and I lost another friend on the date that we did the competition. I woke up that morning of the competition that you were emceeing. And I found out my friend passed away just suddenly. I did the podcast with him. People can't see him. He's it's crazy. I'm doing a video and a notification drops down that he passed, you know? Again, yeah, it's been an interesting 2025. And another friend did too at the same time. But I'm now very cognizant, because sometimes you can think, we forget about mortality and we start to treat life. I see people treating their health, taking it lightly, not, you know, getting themselves way out of shape, not being grateful, things like this. So again, I've always been, because of me taking care of people, I've always been mindful of what, because some people I've seen them for 30 years. So I've watched the transition of their life and I watched them age. And this is one reason why I'm so motivated to keep myself in shape is I watch aging. I watch the ages of people and I watch wives who now retire, their retirement age, and their partner, wife or husband, their partner now has a health condition that they did not plan. They were planning on traveling. We're going to have all this and stuff happens. You see, so what I'm saying is what your listener can take away is, if your life's going good right now, enjoy the hell out of it. I'm not saying to sit and worry about the winter coming, but in those summer moments, hug, embrace your loved ones. Do not just walk by them and not see them, because sometimes we can do that, right? We're around the people. Yeah. Okay, kids, you know, and they're a bit of a pain. You know, you don't have your time. And I was coaching one man and he said, you know, he said this to me, he said, when the kids come, he brings them home, him and his wife, they get home from school, they feed them, they do their thing, and they can't wait for them to get to bed by 8 so they can have their time. See, that is not the way to do it. 5 days a week. And then when, you know, weekends, you're, oh, I got to take them here and you got to, that's not the way to do it. When the summer is here, embrace. Yeah. That's how you get ready for winters, is you embrace those moments. And really, when was the last time we looked at our partners at home and really looked at them? Not just looked past them, through them, but looked at them. When is the last time we stopped and truly listened and truly embraced and truly, you know, loved on them? That's how we, in a life form, that's how we prepare for winter. In your business, we talked about, you know, getting a surplus. In life, the surplus is loving on the friends you're with, loving on the people that you're with, making sure that you are living full. You are expressing your passions into the world. That, because, you know, one of the things I can say about my son, we were reflecting this past, you know, weekend, and we're reflecting that he did a lot. He did a lot in 31 years. He traveled. He started a business. He traveled so many countries, you know, and he lived a life. Like, so he was obviously saddened to know there's a time limit that, you know, that was set. But he wasn't regretful that he didn't live.
He lived his life.
So, yeah, he did. He really did.
Wow. That was, first of all, I thank you. For sharing that. It was very, very touching. And, it brought up something for me, if I can add to it. I often say, I'm going to use your, like a share of wisdom that I got, mm-hmm. that I took from, you said, don't go through it, take from it, right?
Yeah.
Get from it. That able to solidify something I was saying before was when my dad passed, daddy's girl. I happened to be in the code room with him, and I had to make the decision. And I remember having clarity, even in, like, once I made that decision, I remember being clear enough to ask the hospital to, like, you know, I want to spend some time with him, but can you please remove, like, fix this environment as best as possible so that the time I spend with him and what I see last is not with all the tubes and all this and the other.
Yes.
But I also remember just in talking with him, I knew all these things to do anyway. And all of that to share that some years back, when everything was great, because I like how you talked about these seasons. So it's in the seasons where things are really working that you have to use those opportunities to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because what happens is you don't know why. I didn't know why I had this interest to study people that had gone through massive grief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, losing, like there's that woman in Woodbridge here that lost like her parents and her three kids all in one car accident. Right.
Hit.
That
one. Yeah.
Or, you know, Madonna Badger lost her grandparents and her three children in a fire, right? Like, so her parents and her three children in a fire. But somehow she turned it around. The woman in Mississauga, she started like a charitable fund. Madonna Badger has a best-selling book, has been on Oprah, like all of these things. And so I was like, how do these people move through unspeakable grief?
Yeah.
And in starting to study people that have gone through unspeakable grief, I recognize it raised my bar of what I could or could not handle. Like, so suddenly things like being cut off on the road.
Yeah.
Or like line up, like those things, like they're not even like, if that's my problem, I want that life.
You're living a good life. Yeah. It's a good life.
And I never knew that all of that sort of that collective work interviewing people that had gone through, like on this podcast, like unmeasurable grief, like losing more than one family member, this like prepared me for that moment. Because it was in that moment, it was not for me to learn. There's no way I would have even thought about, let me go and Google somebody who's gone through this. Okay. Like, it was already inside of me. I think that that's kind of what I'm getting from what you're saying.
That's exact. Remember, those are your winter preparations. Because as you said, when it's summer, the problem with summer for a lot of people, it fools you. You're enjoying it so much, and you should do it. I'm never saying not to sit in summer living in the winter, no. But summer is a time of year when things are good, you're in a good space, take care of your body, take care of your mind. Because when you're under stress and now you're emotionally hijacked, you're not thinking about that stuff. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking about that stuff at all. One of the things that I would say is during my son, and my family can vouch for this, as you said, when you've been working out since you're a teenager, so have I, you know, since I discovered physical fitness and I've been keeping at it. And when my son was in the hospital, every day I did not miss a day going to the gym. Is it because I'm such a gym addict? No. I knew that for me, the gym was me shoring my body and my mind. So when everyone looked to me, I knew that. My family, they looked to me to say, in a way, are we in trouble? I knew it. When my son came out of, when we came out of sedation or when he was going through it, I could see him looking at me because he wanted to know. It's like being on a ship or a plane. Imagine if the captain came back and sweating and worried. You're like, oh my God, we're going down. You want to know that your confidence. So I knew I had to take care of myself. I had to put my mask on first and take care of myself. So every day I would go to the gym. I'd say, son, if he's not sedated and out, I'd say to my family and his wife and my wife and whoever's there, hey, I'm going to go to the gym. They all said, okay. They're used to me now, right? So, okay, we'll see you soon. I went down from that hospital. I went to the gym over on Yonge Street. I would, you know, get over there, hour and a half, worked out. And I came back fresh. And I brought the good energy to the room and good energy to him. And when he came out of it, even when he was still in the hospital, not sedated, I'd say, son, I'm going to go work. He goes, okay, Dad, go ahead. You know, so that was me preparing because I knew this with season's coming. And, of course, I'd love to have not gone through such a deep winter and came through with him in the spring. But life is life. It's nothing personal. Life just life's. And he's, you know, unfortunately passed. And his name will always, I'm doing everything I do now to carry his name on. I'll never let him go quietly in the background. But that me shoring myself and preparing myself, I wanted to make sure that no matter what happened, I'm not going down with this ship as well, in a way, because I have other, my wife, my other, I have three other kids. I have people who, you know, look to me for support, and I've made peace with my son. I have zero. One of the reasons why I'm able to also go through grief as well. I one of my clients, we were speaking about this, about grief. They say grief is deeper and it lasts longer when you have regrets.
Ooh, right? That's true.
Yeah, it's deeper and it lasts longer. Yeah. The reason I can go through this in a lighter way, you'd think, geez, the guy lost his son. How is he talking like this? Well, first of all, I am not the person who will show that emotion to everyone. Oh, let me, I'm very personal and private. So I do a lot of my deeper journaling grieving privately. Then I when I look back, I have no regrets on any moves I've made. I was there from his birth. I caught every football game, every activity that I was in, dance. He was in football. He was in this. He was in that. His graduation. I made sure that I was there for every event in his life. So looking back, I'm not going to be, oh, I was at the office and I missed a ton of stuff, or I was working on my career and I missed this and I missed that. I have no regrets. And so I could then just focus on the healing, the experience of what happened and transitioning. And so, you know, so again, this is where I'm at. So in summary, to make this all make sense to the listeners, summertime, enjoy the summer, but do not sleep and think there won't be a winter in our seasons. There's four seasons, right? In the spring you're planting, in this fall you're prepping for the winter. Summer, you enjoy it. Always remember they're in seasons. Yeah. If you do that, I think you can mitigate. You won't avoid the pain. You'll mitigate the pain though.
I do have just one more question just to wrap this up, because you touched on grief and the journey of grief and how it's different for many of us, but and one of them, have you heard of the jars of grief? There's a lot of people that think that grief shrinks over time, because what I would say is, like, even through you sharing what you just shared, I think you have empowered, like, if I'm a listener right now to you, you've empowered me. Like, you've empowered my thinking, right? And so to me, that's that epitomizes this image of grief doesn't shrink over time. So there's a image where you have three bottles, and so people think there's a ball in the jar that represents grief. The jar gets smaller, and the grief ball gets smaller. In another section, it shows that the ball stays the same, but the jars get bigger, where we are the humans in the jar. So it's not that the grief shrinks, is that we grow. That's the take from it. I think that's the imagery, like, just to further compound what you're saying. Because everything that you just shared is enlightening. It feels light. It feels like people have been gifted from.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, that is a massive compliment. You don't realize it, because my son always wanted to make a difference and an impact. So if what I said and my experience with him, you know, okay, so when he first got diagnosed, he went on, you know, shock. There it is. He said he had an out-of-body experience. You know, here he is, 28 or whatever it was, and someone tell him this, the doctor. He had an out-of-body. And then, you know, obviously when things settled and, wow, I have cancer, he waited a little while, and then he posted online, and he, you know, told him. And I said, man, I got to give you credit. I said, I would never post that online, because I don't want any feedback. I don't want, that's how private I am. I wouldn't, right? He said, Dad, if what I posted can help somebody who's going through it reduce the stigma of having it, then I'm like, you're a better man than me. You're a better man than me. Because that's huge. That's huge. If you can still go through this and then use your life as an example. And so when he was in, and the ICU, he told all of us, you know, he wants to make an impact still, and his life be as a legacy. So we said, okay, we're going to carry your message on, and we're all going to, you know, turn the pain into purpose. And we started a foundation for him, and we already raised 70,000, and our goal is to get to 500,000. That's our one goal. And so we raised, you know, 70 so far, and we're working with the Cancer Society, and my daughter just started giving blood, and now the blood, because we realize how much blood services were so essential for him, get in there, blood transfusions near the end. And so we started, my daughter started a whole thing camp. She's going to be working with the blood services now. You might see her in their campaign. And so anyways, yeah, we're turning that pain into purpose. So, yeah.
That.
So it's a, so it's a bottom line, it's a compliment what you just said to me, that any word I said can make an impact.
Yeah.
That's
truly does.
Awesome.
So through all of that, there is a true line, right? I think, I feel like the words discipline, leadership, mastery, all sort of, and by the way, maybe it's because I've been looking at the word mastery behind you for like 49 minutes.
Exactly.
So, but there's a backstory to that. There's a backstory to who you are on today. And so can you take us a little bit through that, just to get us to know Alvin Brown a little bit better? Like, what got you into wanting to help others at the level that you do? Because you, by the way, anyone, like, I couldn't even get in. I tried to pull. I was like, I know this person. I know this person. Can you? Your lineup is long. You're waiting.
It is long. It's long. It's 30 years of dedication. So it's paying off. But for sure.
So where did the love come from? And so where are you through that in your journey now?
Yes. Yeah, so a great question. So it began really truly as a, here I was, my mom had five kids, very young. And I think probably she had me, if I do the math, like in her mid-20s. So five, and we lived in Kingston, Jamaica. So you can imagine.
So you were the what of five? You are?
Youngest.
You're the youngest of five. Oh, wow. Five. Okay, yeah. Okay. That's young. Okay, youngest of get five. It now.
Yeah, exactly. And so you can imagine, just go take, listeners, take yourselves back to late 60s when I was born and the others were born earlier, and 1977 was when I arrived in Canada. So you can think now, a woman from Jamaica, single mother, she somehow, and looking back now, I'm like, whoa, how did she do it? She raised enough money to take me, because I was the youngest, I was in tow. So she took me and her, came to Canada, left my other four siblings in Jamaica with uncles and whoever, while she worked as a housekeeper here in Canada. And then finally, eventually, 2 years later, 1979, she brought the others up as well. And so I was left, you know, obviously she worked all day. So I was left alone at home a lot. And we boarded with a friend of hers in a 9 by 9 bedroom, not a house, but a bedroom. And so, you know, when she was gone, my imagination was crazy and wild. And I was, being new to this small town that I live in now still, it wasn't very diverse in 1977. And then you had an accent. Today, Jamaican accent sounds, you know, cool, I guess, to people. But it didn't in 1977. And I was chased home. I was called names, you know, bullying and all this kind of thing by myself. I didn't have a sibling to go help me out. And so it taught me a lot, you know, and I had to assimilate and learn the new, you know, work on my language, try to not get teased as much. But all of that really and truly built character in me. So when my siblings arrived and we moved around, my mom, you know, did her best to afford, but we couldn't. And so here we are living in a 2-bedroom where there's like, I don't even know how many of us. Anyways, because my brother had some kids as well and so on and so on. So all I knew though then, here we are in an apartment, Ontario housing, in government housing in Toronto. And, you know, you could smell the garbage, you know, the incinerator smell and the roaches and the, and, you know, I said to myself, I don't want to, I knew then, what, I want to live like this. Why am I living like this? You know? But No, it is what it is. But still, I refuse. I refuse to live like that. So I actually moved out at 14 and stayed at my friend's floors and got some, you know, jobs. Burger King.
Was that your first job here?
Turned out to BK, yeah. No, actually, it was my first official job. I did other things like deliver flyers and you know, small job construction and all kinds of little things to make some extra money. Stuff egg rolls. Anyways, did all that. But my first formal big-time job was BK and then graduated up to KFC. Yes, right? So, you know.
Which you probably don't eat any of those things right now.
No, nothing. Okay. I haven't seen it in a while. I haven't seen a long while, you know, but the beauty of those jobs is I could get food after, you know, I could eat there and the whole nine yards. So that was kind of my foundation. And then I discovered sports. Sports, I wanted to be the toughest guy. I saw my siblings. They were tough to me. They were like, they fought at the drop of a dime. I was always a peacemaker. Oh, you know, don't. And I'm like, is there something wrong with me? There must be something wrong. Why am I? I feel like a wimp, you know? Like, why am I? What's wrong with me, man? I got to be tough. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go out and learn to be tough. So I said, how? Okay. Wrestling. I couldn't afford anything else. Wrestling, you needed a singlet. Once I graduated to high school, grade 9, entered grade 9 at 134. You know, a singlet. All I need is a singlet. It's the first entry in. That taught me a lot. Sports taught, you know, me discipline. It taught me focus, learning from setting goals, learning from losing, learning, advancing, you know, building. And so that sparked one thing and it's stacked. And then I finally, a friend of my brother's, his cousin had a martial arts school. So he liked me and said, hey, come over and give me a deal. And I, you know, did my thing. And then it led from one to the next and the next and the next, and it led to boxing. It led to this, led to that, martial arts. And then each thing, I kept having new experiences, travel, wrestling. I traveled to Elmira, New York, and wow, I feel cool, you know, and important now. I finally feel important, you know, I'm traveling. And then that led to this and another thing. And then I get to world championships and I did all these other different things. And then, so when my career was coming to an end, I thought I was going to the Olympics. That was my goal, get to the Olympics and I can turn pro and take care of my mom. And nope, didn't happen. Didn't have enough resources and whatever the excuse is, maybe it wasn't my path. Anyways, did end up there. So I said, what am I going to do with my life? I was, my last athletic travel was to Cuba, doing a boxing exchange program. I saw the Cuban boxers getting treated. And I thought, whoa, I don't know what that guy's doing, but that looks interesting. And I went, you know, in high school, here's the other thing. In high school, I skipped almost every day. I didn't, because there's nobody ahead of me who went to, like, what is this school thing? Like, you know, it's literally, I thought back then, it's schools for white people. I did. I thought it's for either you're rich or something, right? You know, I just didn't. So with my 58 average, I got out of school. My goal in school was not to go to summer school. And sorry, I didn't. I didn't want to go to summer school.
I shouldn't laugh, but that's
fine. I didn't want to go to summer school. That was my goal. Okay. So 58.
I thought you could say not to fail.
No, not to go to summer school. Okay. Not to go. No, I just didn't want to go to summer school.
Which would mean that you didn't fail.
Right. I mean, if you told me 58 was, I got 58. Mm. Done. That's enough. I missed a lot of school. So, because it wasn't for me. Who goes there? Who goes beyond there? Anyways, so sure enough, I got out and I didn't know when I saw that person doing that therapy, I didn't know how the hell, what to do next. No idea how I do. I got no money, no dreams of going beyond post, but how do I do that? So I got back and I started studying personal training. I went to Seneca College and I got my diploma in fitness leadership. That kind of sparked me on the school again because I did really well. It's amazing when you have direction right? Purpose. You start doing purpose and know why. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I did well. So anyways, coming back from Cuba, I started talking to a friend. And I just mentioned that I saw this guy. And he goes, hey, wait a minute, stop. Goes in his night table, pulls out a brochure, hands me the brochure. It just happens to be a brochure on massage therapy. with everything filled out, OSAP loaning, and everything was filled. All I had to do was literally call. I'm like, universe, what is that? Because he never went to school. He never went. And I, years later, I asked him, I said, question, why did you stop? And when did you stop? He said, I don't know, midweek sometime. And I thought, that's the exact time I talked to that person. I had this conviction that I want to do this. And somehow he stopped. So there's some kind of a synchronicity going on there, you know, in life. Sometimes there's some things about our universe you can't explain. You don't explain it, right? So anyways, all you have to do is be clear about what you want, and the universe takes care of the rest. But anyways, so long story short, everything's stacked. And here I am years later now with the 2 degrees, wrote a book, the whole nine yards. All of it came from not believing in who I was and my potential. And one day the light went on and everything unfolded. So those out there listening, it's not where you start. Yeah. It's where you finish and realize that you have more in you. Mm-hmm. So finally, how did I get into this path? Well, I started simply wanting to work on people's bodies. But then I was so fascinated with the mind. I kept all my athletes came in, and I was blessed enough to work with some of the top athletes in the fitness and bodybuilding space. And every time they'd come in, I would be speaking into them. But, you know, back in 1990, whatever, coaching was only the time you heard about coaching was Tony Robbins or one of these people. So it wasn't a thing. So I didn't focus on it. I built my business doing manual therapy, but I just kept speaking into them. And then I became known for the mindset part because I just kept speaking it. Because I realized, I realized how important the mindset is, because I was the guy who was first one in, last one out. I worked hard. I hustled. But every time I got out into the big lights and the lights went up, my mind went blank. And I'm like, what is happening here? What? I'm so frustrated because I put in the work. I do everything they tell me to do. I run the miles. I run more than that. And I get out here and I choke. So I had to figure out, why am I choking? So I end up getting my degree in psychology, and I studied neuro-linguistic programming, which is this is the main tool that I use. And I figured out now the programming in the NLP is, a winner programs themselves to win. A loser, no matter what great opportunities you give them, they program themselves and they find a way to lose somehow. And I realized I was doing that. And remember I said, don't get through, get from it. I wasn't doing that. When I lost, I was sad. I was pissed. But when I won, I didn't even think about why I won. See, if I knew this technology, on the days that I lost, I would have looked at what I did. Yeah. And then the days that I win, I would have looked at what I did. And I guarantee there would be a pattern.
Yeah.
The way I set myself up. But I didn't do it. I just went through it. Lost, happy, sad. Happy, sad, done. No. Now here's a great summary of this. I had a great opportunity, fantastic opportunity, serendipity, to do a security for Tony Robbins. And yeah, when he was in Toronto. And you know what, Tony, I realized that this guy before, when I first saw him, he was playing squash. So we took him back to the hotel. He went in the hotel, in his room, did some stuff. And then he pushed everybody out of the room. All the security was outside, and he closed the doors and went into this thing, 20 minutes. And when I saw Tony, he didn't even look like Tony. I was like, of course he's a big man. But he didn't look like the Tony that I got used to watching all the time. And he looked different because he was in shorts, but looked different. Anyways, he came out of the room. It's like a phone booth. There's Tony. So then on our way there, they said Bob Proctor was going to get bumped because they're running late. And he said, no, don't bump. That's a legend. He went back to the hotel again, did some business. And then he went, pushed us out of the room again and did his thing. And he came out sweating. And I realized, this man is priming himself before he goes on stage. You might have been. Actually, you bring back a memory. But anyways, yeah, Joe Polish was in the front seat. Anyways, all these things. Anyways, so what I realized is that, like an athlete, great athletes don't walk out in the field of battle and wish it was okay. No, they prepare themselves and they make it. They become the thermostat and everyone's the thermometer. Mm. They set the room temperature, right? And that's what he did. And I realized I wasn't even doing that. I was thinking, do it for sports, but not for this. It applies everywhere. Yeah, if you're not preparing yourself, then you're hoping that it turns out okay. Yeah. See, these winners don't hope it turns out okay. Mm-hmm. They put themselves in a state that makes it bend to their will.
So before I want to go to rapid fire. Remember what I told you at the beginning? I was like, get me, I'm just gonna keep the clock going. But I do have a question, just because you've kind of taken us there, because around identity, because I know you do a lot of work around that. So so many high achievers chase results without really examining their identity, which is, I think, what you were, which is the experience that you were talking about. When you won, it was high. When you lost, it was low. But how does who we believe we are, right? Because in that particular case, you talked about winners and losers. So I just want you to double click a little bit more on that. Yeah, really shape what we're capable of achieving. Like, how do we, so how would you, if somebody who came to you and says, Alvin, I'm always losing, you know, what's the work? How do you start to get them to turn that? Because I truly do believe we are the ones that have the ability to
1000%
to turn the dial. Yeah.
1000%. And, so you said something interesting, and you may not mean to have said it, but I'm going to use it anyways, right? You were just talking, and, you know, but you said, and this is what people would say. They said, Alvin, I'm always losing. That's great. I'm glad you said that, because one thing I work on with people is their language, NLP, neuro-linguistic language programming. Our language programs us. So if someone came to me and they did say exactly what you said, which they do, I say, no, you don't always lose. That's a generalization. I'm sure there's times when you've won. You wouldn't got this far if you didn't. So I want you to go back, and I want you to think about the times that what you were doing when you won, what were you doing when you, and when you're losing, what are you doing? There's two different ways you're programming yourself. So I want you to, whatever it is, if we can get you to go back and look at your steps when you won, and then take those steps and plunk them onto where you're losing, I guarantee you'll change the way you're, the results you're getting. Because there's a, I just did a podcast, and it's called in Osteopathy, the thing that I do, the manual therapy that I do, they have four axioms. One of them is structure governs function.
Say that word again.
Which one? Structure. Osteopathy.
Oh, osteopathy. Okay.
Yeah. And as an osteopath, a manual osteopath in Canada here, we work on structure and function. Mm-hmm. So we don't treat symptoms. What we do is we put your body in the right structure, and we fix your structure. And the symptoms, typically, if it's not degenerated and whatever it might be, the function should be better instead of chasing symptoms. So I started to realize that applies to everything in life. In a business, if you have a good structure, system, and a process, you can scale your business. If you don't have a structure and a process, you can't scale your business. You have chaos. Body's the same way. Nice structure, food, eat right, sleep right, poop right. Another one, mentor of this, eat right, sleep right, poop right, think right. Usually the results are good. So when someone loses, there's a structure they have. The reason why they always lose, they don't always, but that's what they will say. They have a way when I lost in the past, when I was competing, I realized that I got up and just went to the, and hoped, got nervous. The lights went up. My mind started thinking about the end. Oh, if I get this. And the minute they tell me, oh, this, if you win this round, you're into the medal rounds. That's when I noticed that I choked. You know what happened? I went blank. All the preparation went out of my head. I have no structure anymore. I'm just out there praying, and oh God, if I make it, please let me. I'm begging, I'm hoping. Instead of being the thermostat, I became the thermometer. You know, whatever the temperature is in the room, I'm that. So someone who out there who's always think they're always losing, I would say they're not, because no one's 100% loser, no one's 100% winner. But when you are winning, do you ever know? And here's what I talk about this summer. When let's bring the seasons back. See, the problem is when they win, they're just joyous.
Yeah.
They don't think about how they did it.
Yeah.
When they lose, they're brooding and they're unhappy for, you know, and they're in their inner feels. Again, not going, you know what? You know that saying again, that wisdom that says you're the winner, you learn. Mm-hmm. You never lose, right? You win or you learn. Mm-hmm. If you take that attitude in business and anywhere, it's if you didn't powerful. Get the sales, yeah, if you didn't get the sale, what did you not, how's your structure on your sales call? Mm-hmm. is there any structure, or you just get on there and ramble? Or is there a, because if you have a structure to your sales call, let's talk business. If you have a structure to your sales call and you, the person, the end result is you keep getting no's and you keep getting, you know, objections. You go back and you go, okay, let me look at my system here. Okay, so I've asked and I didn't. You know, I'm going to tweak this part of my sales. And then you go and you try it again and you go, oh, we got closer. I took him a little farther, took her a little farther. And then finally you tweak another thing, you come back, oh, they're closing. Your closing rate starts going up because you're now you're tweaking your structure. Mm-hmm. Now you have something to tweak. If you just go in there randomly, you don't know what you did. Mm-hmm. Right? You always, everything in life needs structure. That's your right. family, your life, your, you can't be random right. or else you'll get random results.
That's so, what I tell when I, especially in leadership, when anyone comes to me, mm-hmm. they're like stressed.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's look at your structure.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because it means that something's broken or something that's that right. maybe used to work
yeah.
is no longer working for where you are
anymore
right now. Because you can't yeah. just have structure and then expect it to just continue to
last forever.
Work the same way the way as you're evolving. You have to,
That's beautiful. Because you know why too? And we won't get off here, but why that is? Because there's something other than death. You know what's other certain? Change.
Yes. Every day.
Change. Even if you lived in a, even if you live in a cave and said, I don't want change. I don't want change. Guess what? You got older.
Yeah. You're changing everything. Like Tony Robbins says it the best. There's apparently, I don't have it anymore. I used to, I had it written down one time, but all the things that change, like on the hour, like your cells, like how often they regenerate over the, you know, course of a week or 2 weeks. Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm sorry. If you don't like change, I'm sorry. Wrong planet. You got to find it. You got to find another planet because you just got older.
And yeah. I often say to people, like, you should chase change. Like my career totally changed when I decided that I want to be in rooms where change and transformation were happening because I was mm-hmm. so tired of being stuck in the yard where consequences are received. Because if you're not chasing change, then you are, you're being beaten by whatever's changing and you're,
So let me tell you one more thing.
Please.
During the pandemic, on this topic, here I was, you know, pandemic was 5 years ago, 25 years.
Started 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Okay. 5-6 years ago. Right. So during the pandemic, this is all I did. I did manual osteopathy. Remember I said I used to do side hustle was speaking into people, but you know, it was this thing I like to do, but I don't have time. I have a big wait list and you said it all already. And it just kept me busy, busy, busy. That was my thing. I paid for my life and my family, but that. And I had this little dream over here that I'd love to just speak to people and, you know, but it was no time. So pandemic hit. Guess what? I got cut.
Oh.
Way a lot of time. So here's Alvin sitting at home. Oh, pissed off every day. I'm like listening to Ford would come on at 1 o'clock or 1 p.m. And you talk about, I'm like mad, you know, every day. And I put on the same track pants and go down, same routine over, door, everything's closed. They close me down. They can't go to work. And so I saw two quotes, wisdoms, that I wrote down on my board. And I looked at them and I don't just write down the wisdoms and I dissect them. That's why I can repeat them because I dissect them for their value and I take them out. So the one said, never let a chaos go to waste. Hmm. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Never let a chaos go to waste. Okay. Write it down. I'll think about it. And then the other one that popped up was in times of great winds and when the wind is blowing hard and like a tornado, you can do two things. You can go in a bunker and hide, or you can put a windmill up and profit. Mm. Right. And I put those two down. I'm thinking, okay, I'm sitting here month one, month two. How am I going to do this? $400 every 2 weeks. You know, and then I wrote a book. What are you doing? I wrote a book. And then all of a sudden I started thinking more, what can I do? And then I got a call from CanFit Pro and they said, hey, can you offer us this? And then another friend of mine and I got together and we started creating a program called Strong Business Summit. Mm. And we started doing things to support the fitness industry because it got hit, you know, very badly. Really mm-hmm. Yeah. We started to do this program and all of a sudden things, opportunities. And then this was born. Personal mastery training was born. And from there now, it's taken life itself. And so you see, so once we could sit, build a bunker, hide out, things, you know, don't get through, get from it. Or we can think on the flip side of every challenge and every adversity. Yeah. It's like a coin. Yeah. When we looked at a coin, we see heads and a tail. It was the same coin. Mm-hmm. On the flip side of the adversity is a problem waiting to be solved, an opportunity.
I love that.
It's the same coin. Yeah. So I had to just flip the coin and go, at first when the person asked me about my book, do you think your book can be, can help the fit in our CanFit Pro? Can we offer it as a program? At first I say, no, it really wasn't made for, Alvin, what are you doing?
Of course I can.
Yeah, I'm like, it wasn't made for fitness people. It was made. No. Oh, yeah. You know what? Give me a moment here. Let me go put a. And I went back and I created it. It did great. Yeah. People said, no, it was well received. And it was, I'm like, oh, okay. See. So when my mind was set, I instantly to say, no, it wasn't for that. It wasn't
just
built
a
for
yes.
That.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how Empowered My Skin got born. And then even that's how I became a public speaker. Like I didn't, I have never, ever said I want to be a public speaker. Yeah. What I have said is that I believe that God implanted a message in me.
Yeah.
That I want to use my life to unfold and unlock in this world. And that's it.
Exactly.
And everything else gets born from that. And then the ideas, you're open to receive different ideas and never say yes. You'll figure it out.
Open to receive. You cannot. When I do visualizations with people, I say, listen, you just have to state what you want. Mm-hmm. And we are co-creating our life. So you can't orchestrate. I didn't think about my son. That was not on my goal list. However, I realized we're co-creating our life. So there's part of life that you can't predict. All your job is to do whatever is in your control, which is your thoughts and your intention, is you have to take some time, which a lot of people don't, to create the vision you want.
That's right.
Do you have to know how it's going to get done? No. Because you wanted to be a speaker. I wanted to get this thing going. Did I know a pandemic would be the way? No. Well, all I knew is, though, I wanted to get this done. And the universe then provided that opportunity. So all of you out there who are attempting to will life and make it bend to your will and being frustrated, don't be frustrated. Give up the need for control. Mm-hmm. You have none. By the way, FYI, you have no control. Only thing you have control of is what your intention in your mind, mm-hmm. right, does. And then leave the rest to the universe. Be vulnerable enough to be foolish. Yeah. Be like a child, because you are a child. Stop trying to explain everything.
I love that. I love that. So now I'm going to take you through the Rapid Thrivers.
All right.
So when you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
You know, okay, so, oof, man. Okay, a floodgate just opened up. So
first instant.
Wow. Okay. So, okay. I'm going to go first to mine, and it doesn't have to be that it's the most important, but it came, you said first to mine, Robin Sharma. Actually, I have to say he was one of my, other than Tony Robbins, he was one of my first, for some reason, his humility. And I don't know if it's because he's Canadian and he's got this low key way he delivers the message. You know, I really like him. So I would say, I'm going to just say him. Okay. Other than, you know, a lot of things came to me though. My mom, my
dad. Yes, I was going to say your family. Anyways,
yeah. They all came. But you said first to mind. So I'll just say it. Yeah. We only have a certain time frame. Yeah.
Daily activity that helps you with your thrive.
Working out.
A book that has helped you with your thrive.
Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, yeah.
I read it every year.
Yeah, that's a big one. My husband reads it all the time. Like, I don't know how
every
many times he's
year.
Read it. Every year.
Every year.
Okay.
As a renewal. Yeah. Because, you know, the secret is a secret again for a reason.
Yeah. Do you get something from it every time you read it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Because I've changed.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
What is an app on your phone that helps you with your thrive?
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna go out there and say Evernote.
Okay. I haven't heard that one in a long time. I feel.
Yeah.
That might be aging you a bit.
I still. It is. It is. But they're updating, eh? They're updating.
Okay.
So it's new again.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's kind of an old app, but that's okay.
Easy now. Easy.
What is a misconception that people have of you?
At least I didn't say MySpace. But anyways, yeah, so misconception people have of me. I'm perfect. I'm trying to be perfect. You know, because I don't, you know, I've got a good family and I say the right things and the right, you know, that they might hear. I remember one of my bodybuilding guys, his wife came and said, she was afraid to swear in front of me. He said, Alvin, she doesn't want to swear in front of you because she thinks you don't. I'm like, I drop a couple of F-bombs just to relax her, because it's like, I'm not, I just don't want to, I don't find a need to drop in random F-bombs when it's not necessary. Yeah, or, yeah. You know, I just, so anyways, I would say that's the thing. People would say I'm trying to be perfect in a way. I don't know. Because he also, the same person also said, Alvin, you never say anything. You're vanilla. You never say anything. And you know, and catchy, it's because I believe I don't know everything.
Yeah.
And I don't know your situation. And I've got so many people in my life. I've got gay, I've got this, I've got that, I've got black, white. So for me to say one thing would be, I'm very mindful that I'm affecting a lot of different people in the wrong context. So I'm pretty, and I don't know anything. I go with it. I don't know anything. So I don't have an opinion on anything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What I will say I love is that you, this whole episode, like you have my laugh line in my forehead, like kind of like protruding. It's amazing.
Good, good.
So perfect. Where do we find more of you online?
All right. So I am at Nauseam. If you want to follow me, I'm on social media. You'll get it. You'll get more than enough of me on social media. So I'm to personal mastery training. Mm-hmm. And then I created a new thing, actually, after doing my bodybuilding journey. I created a new thing called Personal Mastery Elite. Mm. And that's out there. And that's going to be following my bodybuilding journey again. Because
you're gonna
compete
again, by the way?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I do. Okay. I enjoyed it enough. Mm. I enjoyed it enough. Because for me, it's not about the winning. Pro card.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's about, I can't find, actually, I feel like I was sitting on acres of diamonds because I can't find anything. One of the things I realize about people is they'll always say, who are you to be telling me about mastery? Who, what did you, are you a superstar? Are you? And so I always knew I had to put my money where my mouth is. Mm-hmm. So at 58, coming up soon, I wanted to naturally take my body to the best shape I can be and win in whatever I'm doing to show people that it's not just yappity yap and I'm saying some great things I read online. I'm going to just regurge what Tony said. And no, I'm actually, I believe in what I'm saying. So it's a purpose for me going back in and doing. And I want men, a lot of time men, I see so many men let their bodies go. I just recently started doing a men's group, fitness group. This person asked me to facilitate it. And I'm looking at these men, I said, and as I'm asking them to do some planking and doing, and they're struggling, I said, man, when did you give up on yourself? When did you give up? At what age did you give up? Come on. I'm asking you to do a 45-second plank. Anyways, so they were all, you know, so I'm like, when did we give up? Like, when? When did we give up the dream of being vibrant? Mm-hmm. Anyways, so yeah, so that's where they can find me, PMT Elite, Personal Mastery Training. I've got personalmastery.coach. Online, they can find me online as well. So again, at Nauseam, if you want, okay. I'm hitting you 5 days a week, and I'm trying to be nice by hitting you 5 days a week.
I love it. Well, we're gonna put all your links so that they can access that at Nauseam really easily. By the way, are you familiar with Funk Roberts?
Oh, and by the way, I have a podcast too. I can't.
Yes,
forget
you have
that.
A podcast. I will put the link on that as
on
well.
All platforms.
Yeah, yeah,
and also yes, I know Funk Roberts.
Yeah, he's there's some similar. Yeah. Like, I love that guy.
But he's a young man, too, for me. Like, I think he's younger than me, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, he does 40, alpha male over 40, but he might have hit 50. He might have hit 50.
He did 50, yeah, young boy, just hit 50. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So, as I said, I asked you a question at the beginning of this. Do you want to leave a question or a piece of wisdom for the next guest?
For the next guest, how would they define greatness? Okay. Personal greatness.
Okay. And now finish this sentence. I am empowered in my skin when?
I'm empowered in my skin when I live in alignment with my soul's calling.
Love that.
Yeah.
Alvin. Right?
Yes, and catchy.
Merci beaucoup.
Hey.
Bienvenue.
I'm going to say de nada. Spanish, but de nada.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. I love you. I'm just going to say that. And I appreciate how you show back up for at this you. World. Yeah.
Back at you. And I can't believe you said you didn't want to be a speaker because you're gifted for that.
Thank you. That's for God. That's your point. That's what the universe
that's
came
the
back.
Soul
that is what your universe came back and told me. Yeah. And puts me in position. I've never advertised myself as a speaker, by the way.
And by the way, another little connection, my daughter, she has a brand called In My Own Skin.
Oh, she does.
She does.
Okay, I have to look it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, check it out. It's online. She did that to, let me see, what was she doing? Oh, she had, and she was, what was she? 13, 14. I can't remember what she was. She's 27 now. No, she might have been older. Anyway, she created this brand because she was helping young girls with self-esteem. Mm. And she created this brand, made a whole t-shirt line and raised money too for a girl with cerebral palsy to get some equipment her mom needed. So she raised this whole thing, created a line of clothing, and now she got her pro card, and now she's created a whole brand on In My Own Skin. It's online anyway.
She's also another. Maybe through you, please. Yeah, I would love to interview her. So
you'd love her.
I'm going to ask you to make the intro so that I can bring her on here.
You and her would be, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love her to be a guest. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a wow.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
You two are.
I'm going to hold you to that. So to everyone that's listening, this is sadly where I have to say we're out. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Peace. Thank you for tuning in to the Empowered in My Skin podcast. If today's conversation resonated with you, please take a moment to share this episode, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an empowering conversation. And remember, empowered humans empower humans. Until next time, I'm your girl, and I'm out.